Dear listeners, this is the Vagina Monologues, Part 4.
My vagina is a flower, an eccentric tulip. The center, acute and deep. The scent delicate. The petals gentle, but sturdy. I didn't always know this. I learned this in the vagina workshop. Well, I learned this from the woman who runs the vagina workshop. A woman who really believes in vaginas. Who really sees vaginas. Who helps other women see their own vaginas by seeing other women's vaginas. In the first session, the woman who runs the workshop asks us to draw a picture of our own unique, beautiful, fabulous vagina. That's what she called it. She wanted to know what our own unique, beautiful, fabulous vagina looked like to us. One woman, who was pregnant, drew a big red mouth screaming with coins spilling out of it. Another very skinny woman drew a kind of serving platter with a Devonshire pattern on it. I drew a huge black dot with little squiggly lines around it. The black dot was equal to a black hole in space, and the lines were meant to be people or things or just your basic atoms that got caught there. I'd always thought of my vagina as this anatomical vacuum randomly sucking up particles from the surrounding environment. I did not think of my vagina in practical or biological terms. I did not, for example, see it as something attached. In the workshop, we were asked to look at our vaginas with hand mirrors. Then, after careful examination, we were to verbally report to the group what we saw. Now, I must tell you that up until this point, everything I knew about my vagina was based on hearsay or invention. I'd never actually seen the thing. It had never occurred to me to look at it. My vagina existed for me on this abstract plane. It seemed so awkward and reductive looking at it like we were on our shiny blue mats with our hand mirrors. It reminded me of how early astronomers must have felt with their primitive telescopes. I found it quite unsettling at first, my vagina. Like the first time you see a fish cut open and you discover this other bloody, complex world right beneath the surface. It was so raw, so red, so fresh. And the thing that surprised me most was the layers. Layers inside layers opening into more layers. My vagina amazed me. I couldn't speak when it came my turn in the workshop. I was speechless. I'd awakened to what the woman who ran the workshop called vaginal wonder. I just wanted to lay there on my back, my legs spread, examining my vagina forever. It was better than the Grand Canyon, ancient and full of grace. It had the innocence and freshness of a proper English garden. And it was funny, very funny. It made me laugh. It could hide and seek, open and close. Then, the woman who ran the workshop asked how many women in the workshop had had orgasms. Two women tentatively raised their hands. I didn't raise my hand. But I had had orgasms. I didn't raise my hand because, well, they were accidental orgasms. They happened to me. They would happen in my dreams when I would wake in splendor. They happened a lot in water, mostly in the bath. Once in Cape Cod, they happened on bicycles, on horses, on the treadmill at the gym. But I didn't raise my hand because although I'd had orgasms, I did not know how to make one happen. It seemed a mystical, magical thing. I didn't want to interfere. It felt wrong getting involved. Contrived. Manipulative. It felt Hollywood. The surprise would be gone. And the mystery. The problem, of course, was that the surprise had been gone for 2 years. I hadn't had a magical, accidental orgasm in a long time. And I was frantic. Then, the moment arrived that I both dreaded and longed for. the woman who ran the workshop, asked us to take out our hand mirrors and see if we could locate our clitoris. There we were, the group of us women, on our backs, on our mats, searching for our spots, our locus, our reason. And I don't know why, but I started crying. Maybe it was sheer embarrassment. Maybe it was knowing I would have to give up the fantasy, the enormous, life-consuming fantasy that someone or something would do this for me. The fantasy that someone was coming to lead my life, to choose direction, to give me orgasms. I could feel the panic coming, the simultaneous terror and realization that I had avoided finding my clitoris, had rationalized it as mainstream and consumerist, because I was in fact terrified that I did not have a clitoris. Terrified that I was one of those constitutionally incapables, one of those frigid, dead, shut down, bitter, dried up, apricot tasting, oh my God! I lay there on my mat, reaching with my fingers, searching for my spot, and all I could think about was that I was 10 and I'd lost my gold ring with the emeralds in the lake. How I kept diving over and over to the bottom of the lake, running my hands over rocks and fish and bottle caps and slimy stuff, but never my ring.